This is Dr. Tim Turlop from Turlop Chiropractic, inviting you to join us every Wednesday morning for 30 Minutes to Vitality. Each week, we'll be addressing topics that are ultimately important to your health and to mine. Topics about prevention of disease, expressing greater well-being, more mobility, and vitality overall. Join us every Wednesday morning for 30 Minutes to Vitality.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, the doctor's in the house. I mean, the studio, WXJB 99.9 FM. This program, by the way, your 30 Minutes of Vitality, brought to you and sponsored by Turlop Chiropractic. Dr. Turlop makes his way into the studio every Wednesday, 11:30 to 12, so that he can share his experience with you. And his experience includes all the services that chiropractic care would provide. And he does that right here locally in Spring Hill on North Cliff Boulevard, just a little east of US 19. Dr. Turlop, check him out online, drterlep.com. In the meantime, we do open the phone lines if you have any questions, comments, or concerns. And we're going to go straight to the phone lines. We got a caller already, Doc. Okay, there you go. Hello.
Hey, Dr. Turlop. It's John and Danelle, and I called you a couple of weeks ago about my Omega. I got my blood drawn, and I got the results back. And my doctor just kind of poo-poos this stuff, but I wanted to hear what you thought. Some of my stuff is high, and some of the stuff is low. But my Omega-3 index is 3.1. That's fine.
That's actually low.
The Omega-3, that's low?
Yeah, the Omega-3 is low. The Omega-3 index.
Yep, that's what I wrote down my notes. That's what you said, but their thing says it's in range. Okay, then quickly, omega-6, omega-3 ratio is 4.8, which they're saying is low.
It's okay. It's okay, okay. Because they're looking at a disproportionate amount of omega-6, and actually the latest research has actually indicated we went significantly more omega-3 than 6. So you're fine. You're fine.
And then the EPA arachidonic acid ratio is 1.0, and that looks like it's high.
So a little bit, and that can be actually a little bit pro-inflammatory, which is what we don't want to have happen. So if you can offset that with your omega-3 index by elevating your consumption a little bit, I don't know what source you're using to get omega-3s.
I was taking 3,000 milligrams a day, and a couple of weeks ago you told me to cut back to 2, but my blood was drawn at the time I was taking 3,000 a day.
Okay, and then amazing that you're actually a little bit low. So that indicates what of the omega-3s that you were taking. This might be a weird question and a hard one to answer. So do you know of the DHA and EPA? If it was 1-to-1 ratio, a 2-to-1 DHA to EPA, do you have any idea what that was, John?
Would that be on the bottle itself?
It'll be on the bottle itself. Yeah, and if you want to get into that more specifically, if you want to even email me, take a snapshot of that and email that result to me, and I'd be delighted. You and I could do that in a little bit more detail, communicate via email. I'm delighted to do that.
Okay.
That way you don't have to, wonder and that kind of stuff. When we get right, we can dig into the nitty-gritty of that.
Okay.
Does that sound like a plan?
The EPA was 1.7, which I think they said was high, too.
Okay. Yeah, please do that. So would you? And then let me know.
Should I go back to taking 3,000 a day or leave it at 2,000?
Leave it at 2 for right now, and then let's send me the results, and then send me a picture also of the label of what you're taking. So we can, we'll get the right proportions of things in there, and then we'll get that balanced out and elevated in the right ways.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you bet, John.
Thanks. Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Wow, a doctor truly serving the community. That's awesome. Yeah, I didn't realize there was that much involved. I just thought a blood test, they look for the main things or whatever, but there's so much.
Yeah, there is. There is. And I joke a lot of times about that sort of thing, because if we're doing the right stuff, for 98.4% of us, that's not an actual number. I made that up, right? We're eating lots of, greens, beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, seeds, nuts, then a little bit of flesh protein, and we're taking the right proportion of things with the core four, et cetera. It's almost never you have to worry about it. It's that sort of set.
That's true.
It takes care of itself, which is really weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's instead of having to like play with the games, but when we do, remember, that's 30 minutes to vitality, remove the interferences, just do the right stuff, and it just happens.
Mm.
It's kind of neat.
It is.
It's kind of neat, right? Yep. Yeah. So, again, thank you for the call, John. I really appreciate that. So it's good stuff. I love people who are so interested in their health. That's awesome. Yeah. Okay. So it's a good thing. So, and again, what we want to talk about today is that we actually, speaking of people who are interested in their health and having great results, we had a change. We had other stuff that we were going to talk about today. And one of my team, actually, who she's just terrific, actually had brought up, one of the patients stopped her in the hallway and was talking about a result that she'd been having. And she got teary-eyed, and she's been, we've literally been working with her now for about 6 months. She had a really significant problem. She was really bad. And she stopped her in the hall, and what the first thing our team member noted is that she stopped her in the hall, and she wasn't on a walker. When she got into our office, she was in a walker and had been for years and years and years, and was told there was nothing that could be done, and da-da-da. So she actually stopped her today, and she had no walker in the hall. And this team member just said, "Hey, how you doing?" And she said, "I'm doing great. Let me tell you what just happened." So over the weekend, apparently, she was actually, you know, with her husband and with a few friends, and they were having a little get-together dinner party type thing. And they were on the back porch, apparently, by the pool, eating outdoors, and she and her husband's song came on, right? So he looked at her, and she looked at him, right? And they stood up, and she said, "I was actually able to dance again with my husband." For the first time in 10 years, right? So she had some stuff, and she was told there was nothing that could be done for her because the way the nature of her degeneration in her back with the discs, with the this, that she was stuck with this, right? And here she is now without the walker and dancing with her husband again. Wow. And she made the specific comment she didn't have to hold on to him hold him for balance or for weight bearing or anything. They were able to do a normal dance and actually able to do it. And she cried then, and she cried in the office. And, you know, our team member kept saying, "Well, I'm getting goosebumps." And she's told the story a couple, three times already in the last couple of days, right? And it's really exciting stuff to see that happen. And the other day we had a gentleman, so we're going to talk about discs a little bit is what I'm talking about, because we had another gentleman who actually has been coming in, and Mark's actually been under care. These are two people that had really extensive problems. So Mark's problem was a 12-year duration problem. He was hurt at work, and he was off, and that's a fake name. I'm protecting the innocent.
Right.
Right. But he was hurt at work in New York, and it was really bad. Multiple discs were herniated in his neck. And he was told by, I think it was two orthopedic surgeons and two neurosurgeons that he needed to have the disc, had surgery with discectomies and fusions, and scared the pants off of him, right, to be able to do that. But both of his arms had gone numb, and he was a big man, a muscular guy at the time. And he started to get atrophy in his arms because the nerve energy, if I can call it that, started to be depleted into his arms, so the muscles started wasting. And the guy's been actually suffering in pain. And they sent him to pain management. And he had the epidurals, and he had the transforaminals, and he had the radio frequency ablations, and blah, 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 blah. Got addicted to opioids. Thank God he hasn't taken opioids for 3 years now. and it was a mess. He was very apprehensive about all that stuff, and actually found himself in chronic pain. And a friend sent him to our facility, and we took a look and said, "You know what? I think we can help. It's been a long thing. It's very, very chronic. There's a good chance you'll do better. I don't know how much better, but I know you'll do better because I could see some things that would absolutely respond." Lo and behold, here we are, I don't know, 3 or 4 months later, right? I saw him the other day early in the morning, and I said, "Hey, how you doing? You know what's going to," and the beam on his face is just gigantic, right? And he's waving his arms, and his arms are actually back. He goes, "My arms are back completely. There's no numbness, no tingling, no anything in my arms. My neck pain is gone 90%. I haven't had a headache in 2 months from my neck when it goes bad." And you get these pounding headaches because I haven't had a headache in 2 months. My neck is 90% better. There's no numbness in my arms. I'm not taking anything over the counter even. I feel awesome.
And this is without surgery.
Right. And and that doesn't mean that, because I have a couple of friends of mine who are super spine surgeons.
Right.
I mean, they're just terrific. Right. And sometimes that's all that can be done.
Yeah.
Right. We look at some patients and say, "I'm so sorry. There's nothing that we can do to facilitate or help you. I'd love to be able to do so." But you can't.
Right.
The only thing to do is actually, if you want any chance of having any recovery, the chance, we've got to do the surgery, and let's get you to the best surgeons we know.
There you go.
To do that. Yeah. But these are cases where, you know, people were told they had to have surgery and were able to respond conservatively to interventions that we were actually able to significantly change their outcomes. You know, the lady's off the walker. She's dancing again and had been told that she'd have to suffer this. Sorry, there's nothing that can be done. Right. And thank gosh, it's just not the case. Right. And she's responding really terrific. Right. It's awesome. Right. And it's really exciting. So it totally changed what I was going to talk about today, because I walked out going, that's just great.
Yeah.
It's just great, because that's why we do what we do.
Yeah.
Right. So what we did with both of these individuals, one was a low back. The other is a neck, a cervical spine. Right. Both of them have disc lesions, multiple. Excuse me. She had two herniated discs in her low back. He has three in his neck, right? I said, you're a New Yorker. You don't do anything little in New York. I mean, you guys just go crazy. You don't just get one disc. You have to have three, for gosh sakes. Dang New Yorkers, right? But he actually had all this stuff. So it's a neck and a lower back. So what did we do? Some of the intervention we did for each of them was the same. Some of it was dramatically different, right? So in the low back, for the case of this lady, and she's 78 years old, right? And it's extensive degeneration, but these two large discs. So we talk about degeneration, we mean that the discs have actually, they've worn and worn and worn, uh-huh. Right? And then there's big spurs and stuff around it. But then also too, the jelly that's inside the disc, which is the separator, the shock absorber between two vertebral bones, uh-huh. Right? There's a jelly inside that disc, just like a cherry filled donut.
Oh yeah.
And the cherry filling actually has started to come out into the back. Right. So one of the things that we saw by the nature of that, it could they have done surgery? Well, sure. Could have. Would it have helped? Well, thank goodness she saw two surgeons who were both very candid with her and said, surgery for you with the degeneration you have is not going to help. Mm. I can go in. I can actually take the disc fragments out. I can do the fusion. But it's not going to help you. Right. So if I did it, you'd be going through a bunch of stuff, spending a lot of money, going through a lot of pain for an outcome that would be negligible. Right. So two good surgeons who actually said, sorry. Love to help, but can't, right? So that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I love that, mm-hmm. Right? So that was really good. So she had this jelly with all of this spurring. And the spurring typically, what's really interesting in her situation, is above where she had this degeneration and the disc problems, the discs were completely normal. And in terms of size, and there was no spurring. Mm. So she's 78 years old. So you'd say, huh, why is it the last two vertebrae and the last two discs had become so problematic, but everything above it looked like they were from a 45-year-old? Wow. What's that about?
Right.
Well, when you go back in her history, you find out what she'd had this injury about 35 years ago. Right, where she actually fell on her bum, mm-hmm. Right, and it caused a significant problem in her lower back, and she thought she got well. She thought she was okay after about 5 months and all the pain and misery and not being able to walk and blah, blah, blah. She thought it had healed and gotten well. But that was almost for certain the onset of this problem, because over time, the dynamics of the low back, the way things move and function, the body had to adapt, and it caused abnormal movement patterns in those joints, changed the neurology down there, did all kinds of weird stuff. Till over time, the disc just blew, and the discs were wearing out, and the spurs were growing to try and stabilize the area as it was wearing, and it was problematic until she got that bad. And it was probably 20, 25 years after the injury. And then the last decade has just stunk, right, with the walker and moving around and blah, blah, right? So we went ahead and we did something that we've talked about before, on the, probably a year or so ago, but with something called non-surgical axial decompression. A mouthful of nonsense, right? That is really talks about a piece of technology that will actually open up that disc space to actually induce that jelly to start drawing back into the disc and to remove its size. So it decompresses, it takes the pressure off. So, a good buddy of mine, when he does surgical decompression, he goes in surgically and removes the fragment of the jelly. And then many times he'll fuse it as well, right? So he'll go in and take that jelly out. Well, we're trying to accomplish then, when we're able to do that, which thank goodness is a lot of the times, mm-hmm. Right, is to get that disc to actually go back home. Get back where you belong, right? Mm-hmm. It sounds like a Beatles song.
Yeah.
Now, okay, we could tell it to get back. I think we'll have to break into that theme song when we actually have people on decompression.
There you go.
Right, to get back to actually get back to its normal location within the disc, right, and become more stable therein. Right. So the pressure, it decompresses it, but it does it non-surgically. So the pressure it's causing, whether it be on the cord or the nerve roots, the parts that come off the spinal cord that then exit the spine, the pressure it's putting on that, because there's only so much room in there. right? When you've got the spinal cord, it's surrounded by bone,
yeah,
right? And joints and stuff. There's only so much room. When something new gets in there, it causes pressure on everything.
Oh, yeah.
It changes the dynamics of everything, right? So what we know now is that we can do this without doing surgical intervention. Same thing happened to the guy in the neck. So we've got the capacity in our facility to decompress both low back and neck problems. So regardless of which one has the discs, the discs in the mid-back, they do happen, but they happen less than 6% of the time where you find a disc herniation is in the mid-back. And doggone it, there's really nothing that we have anywhere. Isn't that amazing? Nothing. There's no surgeries. There's no decompression. There's no chiropractic intervention. There's nothing to actually do to facilitate a herniation in a mid-back.
Wow.
Yeah. So that one is, we'd actually do what's referred to as palliative care. We try to stabilize it as much as we can, the right bracing, you know, the right gentle care to alleviate the symptoms as much as we can, and then give it time to stabilize and heal.
Mm.
Yeah, not the happiest thing to happen. Thank gosh it's only 6% of the time. The other 94% are either neck and low back.
Right, yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. So this gentleman who had the three discs in his neck, same thing, but it's a different, it's in the same type of technology, but a completely different piece of part of the equipment that actually will do that same drawing technique that over time will actually open up the pressure inside the disc, draw that discal material back in. At the same time, just like when this lady fell on her bum, many times we'll see accompanying alterations in the dynamics. Again, the way that when we use the word dynamics, we're just saying that we think something moves. Right? So the motion patterns of the joint often get damaged as well. So we'll work to normalize the movement pattern of the articulation, the joint, that actually then affects the disc, because that disc is anchored into the bone. So there's a bone above and a bone below. And it literally, I kind of joke sometimes, and it's almost like taking a drill and putting, you know, like 12 screws into the disc, if you went inside the donut and could drive screws through the top of the donut into the bone above, and you do the same thing. If you'd be inside there, you'd drop screws into the bottom of the donut into the bone below.
Right.
It's anchored onto the bones.
Yep.
So when you get that problem with the disc, it then changes the way the bones move, and that's what actually creates the joints. So the entire disc joint complex, it's sometimes called. What stupid names we have, right? Right. When this stuff gets together, right, it all gets affected. Mm-hmm. Sometimes one is worse than the other, but we have to address both. Right. And then both of these individuals went into something we call core stabilization. So we have a doctor of physical therapy on staff who specializes in spine care. Mm-hmm. So she's absolutely fantastic. Right. And then we work with stabilizing rehabilitation while we're doing the decompression, while we're actually changing the way the motion patterns in the joint.
Wow.
So we put that all together to make everything work better and become much more stable. Right. And so when we see that happen in the individuals like that, it's just amazing.
I can imagine.
And right.
It's amazing that the body, after all these years, you said this injury was probably 35 years ago.
You when it first happened.
Yeah.
It was.
And that you could actually reverse that and come back to normality is
well, that's a great, thank you. That's an awesome segue into something.
All right.
So both of these individuals being so chronic.
Yep.
All right. So we talked about how her discs at those last two levels had significantly gotten smaller. They wore down.
Uh-huh.
And then those spurs grew, trying to stabilize and fixate the area, because the body saw the problem and it said, let me try and make that stronger.
Yep.
And shore it up.
Yep.
All right. So can I get that out of there? No. That the discs will not come back to normal height. The spurs will not go away.
Okay.
So she's able to dance. She's able to walk without her walker. She's able to do that cool stuff. But unfortunately, she'll be needing to do her home exercise protocol, which only takes about 4 or 5 minutes, 3 or 4 days a week.
Wow.
Right? She'll need to be doing that indefinitely. Mm-hmm. That will need to go on if she wants to stay the way she is. And she will, even if she continues doing what we're doing over the course of the next 6 months, right, she'll get even better. She'll get even stronger. She'll be even, right? But it'll never be, I'd have to be the creator, for gosh sakes,
right,
you know, to be able to give her new discs and, you know, wave my magic wand.
Yeah.
Right? I used to have a little pixie dust, but I've used it all in my 30-year career. It's all gone. I don't have any more. Right? So we have to work now. Right? But we'll have to do that. And she'll need a little bit of ongoing maintenance care. Right. So I don't know what it's going to be. Her treating physician will determine that.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it'll be every 8 weeks, 6 weeks, 12 weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is. Or once in a while, she'll need to do that while she does her little bit at home. Because for her, there is no completely unwinding that. nor is it for the other gentleman from New York, because his was so old as well and so much decay relative to that much trauma.
Right.
For you and I, if I'm out doing a little yard work, it's a gorgeous day, and I grab a, you know, I have 6 50-pound bags of mulch, because I, and I love working in the garden, and so I'm out there doing that, right? And I, you know, and I like a dummy, because I said, oh, I need to put more mulch in there, and it looks beautiful. And without thinking, because I'm thinking of my project, I reach over without straightening, and I stand, and I start to lift up, and I go, oh, boom. And I herniate a disc in my lower back immediately. Now, those many times can be resolved completely, and they don't require that ongoing level.
Right.
Right. Because, again, I've got a lot to work with. Right. It's like working with, you know, a 2019 car versus working with a 1981
right.
car.
Yeah.
If they both get in an accident, the 2019 car is a lot easier to work with
yeah.
and stabilize, because the metal is stressed. The metal is older. Right? It's more brittle. It's tougher to work with that older vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Versus the new one. Right. So it's kind of the same idea. Right. They're worn. The problem is older, not that necessarily, because this gentleman from New York, he's not that old at all. Right. It's just to live like that at that age was just it stunk. His whole life was done. Right. Oh, yeah. And it is just so cool. I drove in this morning. He's sitting in the parking lot, and it was just because I get this big beaming smile, and he points a finger at me and then a thumbs up. Right. Mm. As I pulled into the parking lot this morning, he's there before anybody even gets to the office. It was awesome. Right. And that's what got me going, because here I got him sitting there with this happening, and this other lady I hear about again this morning. I'm like, OK. The heck with the other topic we had. I had a little research ready to go, blah, blah. Who cares?
Yeah, right.
Right, because this is too good a stuff, and there's so many people who don't know where to go. And in our facility, we've actually made sure that we've availed ourselves of the latest generational technology when it comes to decompression. It's like with anything. I mentioned cars, right? So I, you know, cars, if you and I would want to go to lunch, and I go, come on, JW, let's go to lunch. And we go down, and I've got a 1979. Remember the Yugo?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I sure do.
Right? Or maybe it's a 1979 Ford Pinto. Let's not get rear-ended.
Yeah.
Right? And you go, it's a car. Or we go down and you say, you're driving, and there's a 2019 Bugatti down there.
Uh-huh.
Right? Now, I was like, whoa. Well, JW, this is awesome. Right?
Yeah.
Right? So they're both cars, but they're significantly different vehicles.
Right.
Right. One is high performance. One is safer. One is amazing to be in the sound system. Everything about that vehicle is wow. The Yugo, well, it got me from, you know, here to there, but it's not comfortable. It's not safe.
No,
the sound system stinks.
Yeah.
There's no air conditioning. They're both cars.
Right.
So I call them both cars. And everything is like that, is it not? I mean, gradations from clothing to cars to houses sure. to pencils, for goodness sake. Some can be excellent. Some are not so much. And so decompression technologies can be the same way. So ours is a fourth generation technology that actually incorporates the least amount of possible force that's out there on the market today. Right? I joke frequently, I say the biggest side effect we have when we apply decompression for any of our patients is snoring.
Yeah.
Right? And sometimes drooling. It's embarrassing for our patients.
What a small price to pay, right?
Right. They snore yeah. and they drool. It's a horrible thing because right. it takes about a 30-minute session uh-huh. each time, right? And they either watch a movie or they fall asleep.
There you go.
Right? Because it's not a painful intervention in any regard and is exceedingly effective.
Wow.
So that's what the latest and you do. Did I have to pay for that technology? Yes, sir. We sure did. Right? But it is, the outcomes are fantastic, and that's exactly what we're after.
Yeah. Another one who gets to see practical miracles on a daily basis. That's what it's all about.
It's pretty terrific.
Yeah.
It's pretty terrific. And our team actually gets jazzed up by that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They see it, and it's so fun because you see their staff will walk by and they're high-fiving each other, and you know, because it's a cool thing.
Yeah.
It's a cool thing.
Wow. Well, Dr. Tim Turlup in the studio is with us, as he is always every Wednesday, 11:30 to 12. It's your 30 Minutes of Vitality, and that's what we're talking about, your vitality, your health, all right here on WXJB 99.9 FM. Dr. Tim Turlup can be reached at his office, Northcliff Boulevard, Spring Hill, just a little east of US 19. Check it out online, drterlap.com. And give his office a call, 352-666-2222. Make your next appointment with Dr. Turlup, Spring Hill, Florida. Until then, we'll see you again next time on your 30 Minutes to Vitality. Dr. Tim Turlup, we appreciate your time with us today, my friend, and we'll see you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
All right. Have a nice day. Rush Limbaugh coming up next on 99.9 FM.